Question 1. What does it mean to be a Catholic man? Ecce homo. Behold the man. Every man, particularly today, must come to a mature acceptance and understanding of what it means to be a man. This may seem obvious, but in our world there are many distorted images and much evidence of confusion regarding what is true masculinity. We can say for the first time in history, people have become so confused or so arrogant as to attempt to dictate their masculinity or femininity according to their own definitions. At one striking moment in Jesus' trial, Pontius Pilate, with all his worldly power, presented Jesus to the crowd with the words Ecce homo, Latin meaning, here is the man. Thinking he was merely pointing to a man from Nazareth, he failed to recognize that he was pointing to God made man, the Word made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, who at once is fully God and fully man, and the perfection of masculinity. Every moment of his life on earth is a revelation of the mystery of what it means to be man, that is, to be fully human and also the model of masculinity. Nowhere else can we find the fullness of masculinity as we do in the Son of God. Only in Jesus Christ can we find the highest display of masculine virtue and strength that we need in our personal lives and in society itself. What was visible in Christ's earthly life leads to the invisible mystery of his divine sonship and redemptive mission. The Father sent his Son to reveal what it means to be a man, and the fullness of this revelation becomes evident on the cross. He tells us that it was for this reason that he came into the world, that it is his earnest desire to give himself totally to us. Herein lies the fullness of masculinity. Each Catholic man must be prepared to give himself completely, to charge into the breach, to engage in spiritual combat, to defend women, children, and others against the wickedness and snares of the devil. Looking to what the secular world holds up as manly is, in fact, to look at shadows, or even at outright counterfeits, of masculinity. No athlete, no matter how many awards, no political leader, no matter the power he wields, no performer, businessman, or celebrity, no matter how much adored, no physical attribute or muscle mass, no intelligence or talent, no prizes or achievements can bestow masculinity on a man. The idolatry of celebrities at this time is a particular temptation, but to build one's masculine identity on such fleeting models is to build an identity on sand. My Catholic sons and brothers, we can only build a certain foundation for masculinity on the rock Jesus Christ. We look to our Saviour to be transformed in him, to be the men we are called to be, and to let others see him in us. Yet we do not merely look to Jesus. We truly encounter Christ at Mass when we receive the very gift of himself in the Eucharist. For this reason, I call upon my brother priests to awaken the sense of transcendence in the hearts of men through reverent and beautiful liturgy, helping men to rediscover Jesus in the Eucharist each and every Sunday. I ask my brother priests to teach the faithful about the powerful truth of the liturgy, especially in ways to which men can relate. Teaching men to understand the fullness and power of the Mass must be a top priority. What a joy it is for men of God when they are led by priests who have a confident sense of their own masculinity, their call to participate in Christ's espousal love, and their generous, life-giving fatherhood. Saints, our heroes of faith. This is what our forefathers, the saints, have done for 2 millennia. As the Gospel reveals the reality of masculinity, we can also find it lived out in the heroic witness of the saints. Saints are a kind of continuation of the Gospels, and so give us examples of the varied paths of holiness. Thus, as Jesus shows the perfection of masculinity, so we can also find it lived by the saints who are led by Christ. Just as an aspiring baseball player is inspired at the Baseball Hall of Fame, so must we men look to those who have gone before us, to look to them for inspiration and encouragement in fighting the good fight. Think of the varied skills and talents of baseball players. A young person may dream to hit like Babe Ruth, catch and throw like Willie Mays, have the agility of Henry Aaron, the consistency and hard work of Lou Gehrig and Jackie Robinson. Young pitchers would dream of pitching like Cy Young and Randy Johnson. As they see each of these players play the game in different ways, they are inspired to a love of baseball. Yet far greater than a ball game is what Catholic men seek. We look to the saints as heroes, striving to live like Christ, united to him, learning from him at the same time. In a dramatic way to which we can relate, the saint's life says, Ecce homo, here is the man. This is what St. Paul implies when he writes, It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Each man should make a decision to have a patron saint. While there are many more, I offer the names of 10 saints with whom each and every Catholic man should be familiar. Next to each saint's name is listed the virtue with which he is associated, as well as the sin which opposes that virtue. When we identify our sin and the needed virtue, we can identify which saint's intercession will be particularly helpful. Saint Joseph, trust in God, selfishness. Saint John the Baptist, humility, arrogance. Saint Paul, adherence to truth, mediocrity. Saint Michael the Archangel, obedience to God, licentiousness and rebelliousness. Saint Benedict, prayer and devotion to God, sloth. St. Francis of Assisi, happiness, moralism. St. Thomas More, integrity, double-mindedness. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, chastity, lust. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, boldness, worldly fear. Pope St. John Paul II, defending the weak, passivity. We don't even need to look to the distant past to find heroes of the faith. We witness St. John Paul II forgive his would-be assassin, and after recovering his health, continue tirelessly to call the world to open wide the doors to Christ. Time and again he exhorted us, be not afraid. Today, in parts of the world where persecution rages, we are seeing courageous witnesses of truth in the recent martyrs of Syria, Nigeria, Iraq, and other war-torn countries. We remember our 21 Coptic brothers who, just this past winter, were beheaded on a beach in Egypt, and, as Pope Francis noted, only because they confessed Christ. Men, we must never believe that holiness and courage are things of the past. You and I are called to a holiness that shows Christ to the world, as our forefathers have done countless times throughout history, following the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, in this time of evil's growing boldness, each man must prepare himself for nothing less than martyrdom, whatever form this may take, and to instill in his children and grandchildren the willingness to do the same. Will the Lord not continue to inspire men? Of course he will, and he continues to do so. Our concern is not if the Lord will give us the required strength, but how he is doing so right now. How is his Spirit moving us to rise up and reject passivity in a culture of fatherlessness? How is he now giving us interior strength in a culture of pornography? How is he now inspiring us to look beyond ourselves and our technology to the peripheries where Christ is needed? How is the Lord inspiring you and me right now to cast aside concerns for our own comfort, to serve our fellow man, to put out into the deep, to step into the breach? I strongly encourage your familiarity with the lives of the saints. Just as a young baseball player would lack much having never studied the greats enshrined in Cooperstown, so we lack much if we are ignorant of the saints who have preceded us to the infinitely more glorious halls of heaven. The Catholic man's identity. I wish now to speak to you about our identity in Christ. Most of the holy men I mentioned above lived in times quite different than our own. They had different challenges and different callings, but all had one thing in common: Jesus Christ, who who gave them their true identity. Here we recall the wisdom of the Second Vatican Council. Quote, Jesus Christ reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. In subtle ways, we are tempted to look elsewhere for our identity. The opinions of others, the success of our careers, the number of possessions, toys, sports, hobbies, clothing, tattoos, homes, and cars. These are all ways that tempt us to label or identify ourselves in ways outside of Christ. While some of these must be part of our life to an extent, they are not the core of our being. Having been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, our citizenship is in heaven. The world cannot possibly give us our true identity. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We must be aware of being distracted by false identities and remain grounded in Christ. Simply put, our identity is caught up in the identity of the eternal Son of God. It is received at our baptism as it was clearly exclaimed at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When we speak of conversion, we are speaking about an acceptance of and growth into this identity. When we speak about sin, we are speaking about all that takes us away from our identity as beloved sons of the Father. Since this is our identity, being beloved sons of God the Father, is it surprising that the devil is waging a fierce battle on masculinity and fatherhood in our day? The process of Christian conversion includes coming to know God's love and experiencing brotherhood with Christ, who deepens our identity as sons of the Father in the Holy Spirit. This is our lifelong goal and our spiritual battle. Beloved and free sons, called to battle within. Let us look to John the Apostle and beloved disciple for insights into this battle. In his first letter to the church, St. John speaks of the threefold temptation faced by all of us. Temptations to the passions of the flesh, to possessiveness, and to pride. Are not all sins tied to these three temptations? John puts his finger on the battles that each of us must fight within ourselves. In fact, Christ fights specifically against these temptations during his encounter with Satan in the desert, and then gives us instruction in the Sermon on the Mount on how we are to fight against them. Turning away from the passions of the flesh, Jesus rejected Satan's offering of bread in the desert, and in the Sermon on the Mount, twice he instructs us to fast. Notice that the Lord does not say, if you fast, but rather when you fast. Fasting is training in self-knowledge, a key weapon for mastery over oneself. If we do not have dominion over our passions, especially those for food and sex, we cannot possess ourselves and put the interests of others in front of our own. Tempting Jesus to possessiveness, Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. But once again, Jesus refused. This shows us that Christ calls us to freedom from the temptation to gain the world at the cost of our souls. Often, Satan tempts not through persons, but through objects, like a car, a house, or the latest high-speed technologies. There is no shortage of messages that tempt us to grasp for happiness through possessions. We recall how the rich young man left his encounter with Jesus as sad, because he had many possessions. Pope Francis reminds us, the emptier the person's heart is, the more he or she needs to buy, own, and consume. With Jesus, we are called to seek out, not settle for, a simplicity of life which frees us for our mission in Christ. In Satan's third attack upon Jesus in the desert, the Lord was tempted to pride. Satan enticed our Lord to use his power for selfish purposes. But Jesus rejected this crossless glory and chose the path of humility. In the Sermon on the Mount, he exhorts us to humility not once but twice when he repeats, when you pray. Indeed, the greatest protection from pride and self-reliance is turning humbly to God in prayer. The new technologies of social media, where we can constantly display and discuss ourselves, can lead to a type of idolatry that consumes us. Honest prayer will keep us grounded and help us to avoid this temptation. Men, this need for pastors to challenge men to the battle within, to the richness of a committed interior life with God is nothing new. Listen to the words of St. John Paul II when, as Archbishop of Krakow, he spoke to college students in 1962. "We are quite ready to take or conquer in terms of enjoyment, profit, gain, and success, and even in the moral order. Then comes the question of giving, and at this point, we hang back, because we are not prepared to give. The element which is so characteristic under other forms in the spiritual portrait of women is barely perceptible in men. We have a tendency towards the Nicodemus type of religious attitude, towards the type of devotion which is characterized maybe only by superficial discretion, but very often also by fear of what others might think. This male Catholicism is not interior and deep enough. The male believer does not have a true interior life. We men do not have a deep enough interior life. The human being is a creature, and therefore, in relation to God, a receiver of love and courage, before he or she can give it away to others. Nemo potes dare quod non habet is the famous term the Church developed in Latin for this fundamental truth. You cannot give what you do not have. Mary, our mother, the great receiver of God's love in her very body, is the model for us Catholics. But not only Mary, every great saint, that is, great lover in the history of our Church. There is no shortcut to holiness, to being the great Catholic men we are called to be. There is no shortcut past the age-old interior fight that each of us must engage. As we develop in receiving God's love and mercy in prayer and sacrament, the Lord gives us sure weapons in the good fight St. Paul names when he writes, "Put on the armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and, having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We may be tempted to say, "When I get this threefold battle behind me, I can start living the life of holiness." But this is a lie. It is precisely in the course of this fight that we become holy. As Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati said, "To live without faith, without a patrimony to defend, without a steady struggle for truth, that is not living, but existing." Are you and I merely existing? Or are we living our Christian faith as men fully alive? Recall the famous words of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. "You are not made for comfort. You are made for greatness." Any greatness that we might merit as Catholic men depends upon this fight for holiness. It is the same fight Jesus Christ fought in the desert and the same fight our Christian forefathers fought in order to hand down the faith. Woe to us if we do not pick up the weapons of the Spirit offered to us freely, and accept them bravely and gratefully. Courage, confidence, and humble reliance on God's infinite resources are called for here as we engage. Forward, into the breach. The practices of a committed Catholic man. Given these reflections on Catholic manhood, we move to the practical, that is, how to live like a Catholic man. What practices can help us take up our crosses and follow our King? If we think of soldiers who do not remain in strong physical and mental shape, and who fail to practice the essential combat arts, we know they will not be ready for the battle, and will be a danger to themselves and their comrades in arms. The same is true for Catholic men. Those who do not prepare and strengthen themselves for spiritual combat are incapable of filling the breach for Christ. While there are many habits and devotions that a Catholic man can form, I charge you with keeping these seven basic practices on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. If these practices are not yet part of your life, start now. Daily. Number one, pray every day. Each Catholic man must start his day with prayer. It is said, until you realize that prayer is the most important thing in life, you will never have time for prayer. Without prayer, a man is like a soldier who lacks food, water, and ammunition. Set aside some time to speak with God first thing each morning. Pray the three prayers essential to the Catholic faith, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be. Pray also at every meal. Before food or drink touches your lips, make the sign of the cross. Say the Bless Us, O Lord prayer, and end with the sign of the cross. Do this no matter where you are, with whom, or how much you are eating. Never be shy or ashamed about praying over meals. Never deny Christ the gratitude that is due to him. Praying as a Catholic man before every meal is a simple but powerful way to keep strong and fill the breach. Number two, examine your conscience before going to sleep. Take a few moments to review the day, including both your blessings and sins. Give God thanks for blessings and ask forgiveness for sins. Say an act of contrition. Number three, go to Mass. Despite the fact that attending weekly Mass is a precept of the Church, only about one in three Catholic men attend Sunday Mass. For large numbers of Catholic men, their neglect to attend Mass is a grave sin, a sin that puts them in mortal danger. The Mass is a refuge in the spiritual battle, where Catholic men meet their King, hear his commands, and become strengthened with the bread of life. Every Mass is a miracle where Jesus Christ is fully present, a miracle that is the high point not only of the week, but of our entire lives on earth. In the Mass, a man gives thanks to God for his many blessings, and hears Christ sent him again into the world to build the kingdom of God. Fathers who lead their children to Mass are helping in a very real way to ensure their eternal salvation. Number four, read the Bible. As Saint Jerome so clearly tells us, ignorance of the sacred scriptures is ignorance of Christ. When we read God's word, Jesus is present. Married men, read with your wife and your children. If a man's children see him read the scriptures, they are more likely to remain in the faith. My brothers in Christ, this I can assure you, men who read the Bible grow in grace, wisdom, and peace. Number five, keep the Sabbath. From the creation of Adam and Eve, God the Father established a weekly cycle ending with the Sabbath. He gave us the Sabbath to ensure that one day out of seven, we will give thanks to God, rest, and be refreshed. In the Ten Commandments, God asserts anew the importance of keeping the Sabbath. With today's constant barrage of buying and selling and the cacophony of noisy media, the Sabbath is God's respite from the storm. As Catholic men, you must begin or deepen keeping the holiness of the Sabbath. If you are married, you must lead your wives and children to do the same. Dedicate the day to rest and true recreation, and avoid work that is not necessary. Spend time with family, attend Mass, and enjoy the gift of the day. Monthly, number six, go to confession. At the very start of Christ's public ministry, Jesus calls on all men to repent. Without repentance from sin, there can be no healing or forgiveness, and there will be no heaven. Large numbers of Catholic men are in grave mortal danger, particularly given the epidemic levels of pornography consumption and the sin of masturbation. My brothers, get to confession now. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful King who will forgive those who humbly confess their sins. He will not forgive those who refuse. Open your soul to the gift of our Lord's mercy. Number seven, build fraternity with other Catholic men. Catholic friendship among men has a dramatic impact on their faith lives. Men who have bonds of brotherhood with other Catholic men pray more, go to Mass and confession more frequently, read the scriptures more often, and are more active in the faith. Proverbs tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I call on each of our priests and deacons to draw men together in their parishes and to begin to rebuild the vibrant and transforming Catholic fraternity. I call on laymen to form small fellowship groups for mutual support and growth in the faith. There is no friendship like having a friend in Christ.